Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
Steve in Massachusetts passed along an interesting story to me. I had not seen this, but as reported by TrendMicro.com, a scam, rather complicated one, but when you hear it, it's kind of freaky, helped somebody steal $1 million from a company, and it's using lookalike domain names. So follow along. A Chinese venture capital firm lost $1 million U.S., to scammers who successfully inserted themselves into a deal between them and an Israeli startup. The business email compromise is what we call this. It's a BEC, or a business email compromise scam. And the attackers used 32 emails and lookalike domains to trick both the parties into thinking they were communicating with each other, when in reality, the scammer had stepped in the middle and was actually doing all the communications back and forth. Checkpoint conducted the investigation on behalf of the Israeli startup and found that the account of one of the startup's employees had been compromised. The attackers likely noticed the email thread regarding a seed fund from a Chinese firm to the startup months before the scheduled transaction was to take place. So since the transaction involved a large sum of money, the attackers took elaborate steps to get involved. They created domain names which spoofed the official domains of both the Chinese and the Israeli firm. So, you know, I can tell you right now, I've got the domain name letoslaw.com and lehtoslaw.com. Now, I know if I saw that misspelled, I'd catch it. But someone who's not that familiar with looking at it might not spot that a couple of those letters have been switched around or something, right? The attackers then used the domains to send emails with the same header as the original thread. On the one sent to the Chinese firm, they used the spoofed domain of the Israeli startup, and then vice versa. So when you get an email from somebody and everything in it, including it looks like just, you know, they hit return and sent you back the email with a response, and you glance at the email address, you might not catch they've simply added one letter, which is what I think they did here. Both firms replied normally to the attacker, not suspecting that the email addresses were actually incorrect. So successfully getting between these parties allowed them to not only see the transaction, but to start exerting control over it. The attackers tweaked the replies of each party to suit their agenda, such as changing bank account details and so on, and then they would pass it along. The attackers behind this business email compromise scam went so far as canceling a physical face-to-face meeting between the parties that was set to happen in Shanghai. They made different excuses for both parties at the very last minute to avoid being discovered, and then they ultimately caused their thing to happen. That is where they intercepted the money. After 14 emails to the Israeli startup and 18 to the Chinese firm, the campaign paid off, with the attackers receiving the $1 million funding. In a few days, the startup in Israel started wondering what happened to their money. They called the Chinese firm, and then both groups realized then that the money had been stolen. The discovery prompted the investigation into the scam. So, like I said, it's the business email compromise, despite being a well-known tactic, continues to cause huge losses for companies around the globe. In August, a UK-based affiliate of heavy equipment manufacturer Caterpillar lost $11 million in a similar scam. And for that case, the attackers had utilized spoofed domains to strengthen their assumed identities, another common technique that has been used in phishing schemes. These business email compromise scams will involve both old and new tricks, most likely in the future, to make it harder for organizations to see through the schemes. Trend Micro's predictions report for 2020 foresees BEC scams involving new technologies like deepfakes that will make it even harder to separate truth from deception. So, for instance, I don't know if they can, you know, possibly spoof someone's voice using that kind of technology. So, TrendMicro.com is recommending a few things. To be wary of these schemes, such as using their best practices when it comes to dealing with large sums of money. And that's usually where this happens. You know, they're not going to do this over $20, but a few steps you can take. Fund transfer and payment requests should always be verified, preferably through phone calls, confirming the transaction. Again, making sure you're working with a phone number you recognize and maybe a voice you recognize. Look out for red flags when it comes to business transactions. For example, a change in bank account information with no prior notice. So the second they call, you can say, oh, by the way, instead of putting it in this bank over here, you can put it in this bank over here. That might be an indication that something's up. Employees should always scrutinize received emails for any suspicious elements. For example, the use of unusual domains or changes in email signatures. And like I said, I've done several videos now about the goofy emails I get. And I'm now receiving almost daily spoofed emails that claim they're coming from YouTube. And they'll say things like, you need to verify your account, you need to verify your password, you need to verify your channel. Several of your videos have been flagged. We've gotten complaints about your stuff. And they're just throwing this stuff, hoping that they're going to get somebody who goes, oh, I got to do something about this. And you look at the return address, and it's almost always somebody in some faraway country. And if you simply hover your cursor over any of the links in the emails, it'll clearly send you to some wacky thing. It's got nothing to do with Google or YouTube. And so, you know, that's it's gotten funny now because I get them every day and I recognize, oh, got another one. But, you know, this right here is rather sophisticated because somebody went to the trouble to actually get the domain names and set this all up and get the email addresses all set up with the domain names. You know, and like I said, I think they just changed one letter in the domain name. And I mean, I know people out there who recommended years ago. They said, Steve, you know, latoslaw.com. Do you have latoslaw.info, latoslaw.org? And I'm like, no. You know, I suppose if somebody wanted to, they could get that and do what they could with it. I you know, I'm not suggesting anybody should do that. But, you know, I'm not going to spend a ton of money, you know, squatting in a bunch of domains I'm never going to use. But I also don't have multi-million dollar transactions happening via wire transfer anytime soon. So, you know, as far as I go, that's it. But if you're in a business that transfers money by wire, you got to be very, very careful. Those darn wires, you know, fly by wire, transfer by wire. I think that guy's hanging by wires, you know. Got to be careful. Those wires are messing things up. So that's why we like to go wireless, I guess, right? So anyways, that's the latest one, though. That is the, again, they call it the business email compromise, whether it's a scam or some kind of ripoff. I don't know what you want to call it, but it's a bad, bad thing, and it could cost you $1 million if you're not paying attention. So there you go. Steve in Massachusetts, thanks for the story. Questions, comments, put them below. Otherwise, talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. For every action, there is an equal and opposite malfunction.